Thank you, Nathan. I'm glad he came to me. Amen. Nathan's one of our college students and a preacher's son, and we appreciate that good special. Well, I want you to open your Bible. I want you to open the book you can find very easily. It's the last book in the Bible, all right? Not the concordance, but back just a little bit, all right? Book of Revelation this morning. Book of Revelation, we're going to pick up a few verses in chapter 15 and 16. So go ahead and open it with me if you will. You'll pick up on the word judgment or judgments in the verses I'll read if you look for them real close this morning. I want to talk to you a little bit on the subject, recognizing judgment. You know, recognizing can be good and recognizing can be bad. I think about the lieutenant that was fussing about the general at a social gathering, military. And he was waxing pretty bad about the general, criticizing him. And lady walked up to him and said, "Lieutenant, do you know who I am?" He said, "No." She said, "I'm the general's wife." He said, "Do you know who I am?" She said, "No." He said, "Thank God," and ran. Now, sometime, did you ever get recognized when you didn't want to be? I flew up to West Virginia, I forget the occasion, but where Stephen and the grandkids are, Sonia and I did, and he's got some men in the church that really love to hunt, and that's a good place for it. So as soon as I got off the plane, Stephen stopped the car by a used clothing store, and for about $5, I was able to get a whole new wardrobe. Levi's and heavy shirt, and he had a jacket he brought of his own, and so I got changed real quick to go hunting. By the way, we did. In fact, this is the way I like to do it, fellas. 2 hours after I got off that plane, there was a deer that walked out when he shouldn't, and we got him. First one I'd ever killed, by the way. I'd never been able to hunt much, but anyway, we stopped at a Cracker Barrel to eat. Now, you gotta imagine what I look like. I mean, I was dressed different, to say the least. And I remember thinking when I got out of the car, thank God nobody here will know who I am. That's what I thought. Up in the hills, I was surprised they even had a Cracker Barrel. Anyway, we walked in. I just got in the door good. And I heard somebody say, "Don't I know you?" My answer was, "I hope not." I didn't want to be recognized. But sure enough, it was a preacher and he spotted me. We had a good time of it. But think about what I want to talk to you about this morning, recognizing judgment. Chapter 15, book of Revelation, verse 1. "And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, 7 angels having the 7 last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God." It's filling up fast, folks. "And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast," that's the Antichrist, "over his image, over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thy King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee." And get the last line. "For thy judgments are made manifest." Recognized. Open. What the word manifest means. Moving into chapter 16. Again, picking up in verse 1. "And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the 7 angels, Go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man. And every living soul died in the sea. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of water, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters say, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shalt be, because thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And I heard another out of the altar say, Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. True and righteous are thy judgments. Now, in the context of these chapters in Revelation, it's in the tribulation period. That means if you're saved today, you won't be here when that happens. God may let us look down and see it, but we won't be here. The rapture could take place today, and shortly thereafter, we don't know whether there's a little gap or not, but what is called the tribulation period, that is the day of Jacob's trouble, will break forth on this earth. And it's during that time you find that God then is pouring out his judgments, and here you have the angels and the host of heaven praising God and saying that his judgments are not only deserved, but righteous, right. And the word judgment has two applications in the Bible. If you want to get a good concordance, a complete one, and if you want to go through it and look in your Bible, you'll find the word judgment used hundreds of times in your Bible. And sometimes it's used in the good sense. I mean, today you might go before a judge. He might be dealing with some real estate or some inheritance, and that judge may rule a good judgment in your favor. Or you may be going because of some criminal act or something wrong, and a judge may rule a punishment type judgment. And the same thing in the Bible. The judgments are used depicting both good and bad. If you want to look at a verse of good, go to Psalms 19 and verse 9, and I'll see if I can find it quick as you can. Psalms 19, verse 9. Listen to it. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. You know what that's saying? It's saying no matter where it's a judgment of punishment or a judgment of blessing, it is still true. It is still right. It says more to be desired in verse 10. The good judgments, more to be desired are they than gold. Yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover by them, by what? God's laws, God's judgments. Moreover by them is thy servant warned. And in keeping of them, there is great reward. And so we see the word judgment used that way. Now, if you wanted to go again, you could look into Isaiah chapter 59, and you could pick it up in about verse 14, when it speaks of a time coming, and it was true in Israel in that day, and it's true in America today, and judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. My, God observes when man's judgments are against his truth. And equity is not there. Sin has taken its place. The Bible has a lot to say about judgments. Judgments are often connected to nations, to people in general, and connected with individuals. I want to ask some questions and pull my answers from the Word of God this morning concerning the thought on judgments. I want to deal with what the Bible calls or what the Bible reveals to us about the punishing judgments of God. Now, God deals often with Israel. What brought God's judgment upon Israel as a nation? One thing that was idol worship. God is a jealous God, the Bible says. The first commandment says, Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And what you find Israel did is they went out to the heathen nations and they got influenced by them. And pretty soon, their kids was raised to not know who the true God was. And God brought judgment on Israel because of what we call idol worship. Let me say this today. Israel got mixed up with the heathen gods. Let me make an application. America has got mixed up with heathen gods today. And as I look around and I see all the promotion of Islam coming in and all the foolishness of it, yes, God, America was a God-fearing, founded upon Christian principles, and now all of a sudden, we're supposed to bring in the heathen's gods and make them equal with ours. Hillary's right-hand woman, aide, is got a mother, Muslim mother, who deals with a Muslim magazine that is trying to push Sharia law in America. You did know that, didn't you? And they're bringing in all the refugees, the Sunni refugees, a little bit different than the Shia, but the Sunni refugees, and they want to come in and make America a Muslim nation. That's why the Saudis give millions to the political scenes, and you ought to check up the millions. I mean, tremendous, tremendous amount of millions. And there's a point behind it. They're trying to finance, they're bringing in, they're actually financing college chairs. What that means is they bring in, they put the big money behind it to teach a course in college on Islam in America that's going on right now. Listen, if God judged Israel, and he did, over idol worship and false gods and the heathen's gods coming in, we ought to be afraid. Because we're doing the very, very same thing. You know, they don't want the true God spoken of in the schoolrooms today, but the false gods are spoken of. I don't know if you saw now, Brother Galyon there was telling me he's seen it. Up in Kentucky, they have now the Ark Encounter built by Ken Ham. He's one of the great creationist debaters of our time. And they've actually built a replica of the Ark, I think, pretty much at the best by Bible dimensions. And I think it's about three stories. It's a tremendous thing to see. But and school kids, like they might go to Disney World or something else on a field trip, have been going to see the Ark. And now you got powers in America, atheists and government, saying it might be wrong constitutionally for a school to let school kids go see the Ark. Isn't that some foolishness? See, they don't want the truth revealed. They don't want anything that speaks of God, the real God, revealed. And it's crazy. Right here in Florida, I guess you saw in the news this week, Leon County, where they would send home a paper with the kids where the parents could fill out an exemption and not have the kids pledge allegiance to the flag. Well, I shouldn't tell this story. You're not going to like me for it. But I'm going to do it. We used to have assembly in public school. Sometime even have a preacher come in, quartet, something else. God could be mentioned, is what I'm saying. And we would sing patriotic songs. And we'd pledge the flag. And I remember a boy, later on I become friends with him, but I wasn't very friendly with him that day. He was standing in front of me, and when we all stood to sing the national anthem, he wouldn't stand. He was defiant. And I reached over and got him by both ears. I told you I shouldn't have told you this. And I raised him up. And I held him until the song was over. Say, didn't that hurt? I don't know. I didn't feel a thing. But I held him up. Yes, we had a fight as soon as we got out of there. And I noticed that the coaches and the teachers were very slow to come over and break up the fight. You couldn't imagine that today, could you? By the way, he stood next time. I want to tell you, that's still the way I feel about this anti-America business, amen? I still feel that way. Now, later on, I kind of became friendly with that guy, and of course, he didn't want me to get his ears no more. But anyway, the truth of the matter is, we've gone to a day and time, it's hard now. If you're just patriotic, all of a sudden, it's not popular anymore, and it's a stigma on believing in old-fashioned America. But I still do, and I still thank God for the people that do today. You know, what brought God's judgment? Going after false gods on Israel, and it will on America. Let me also say something else brought God's judgment on Israel. That was the shedding of innocent blood. Now, you can go all the way back in the book of Deuteronomy, and you'll find where God warned them about shedding innocent blood. If you went to 2 Kings, you'd find over there in 2 Kings a king by the name of Manasseh. He was a great sinner that at a time ruled Israel. And the Bible says there was no king that sinned as much as he did. And it says this about Manasseh. It says he filled Jerusalem with innocent blood. and brought God's judgment. Innocent blood, well, there's a lot of ways you can shed innocent blood, but one of the biggest ways is killing innocent kids. The biggest way America has done it, averaging close to 5,000 a day since 1973, what we call abortion has been genocide. And now as we get into election, I'll tell you something, we got a lot of votes that we would have had, but they've been aborted. We got a lot of folks that should have been raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and in a Christian family, but they're nowhere to be found because they've been killed, murdered. That's innocent blood in the eyes of God. And you read your Bible close and you'll find out where God Almighty put a great penalty on the shedding of innocent blood. And America is into that judgment of God, I believe, today because we have shed and we've tax-funded it. Planned Parenthood takes our taxes, mine and yours, to help build their clinics to kill the babies. Somebody says, who are you going to vote for? Let me just ask you this. Who's for killing the babies? And who's against it? Who's for promoting the homosexual agenda? And who's against it? I don't have to. I'm saying, where are you going to line up as a Bible believer? Where are you going to line up as a Christian? Listen, my friend, God Almighty is a judge of sin, and the Bible tells us what brings that judgment. And when I look and see the shedding of innocent blood, I fear for our country. When I look at the homosexual agenda and see what God did to Sodom and Gomorrah, how his judgment fell, I fear for my country. The NBA, National Basketball Association, won't hold their playoff game in North Carolina because North Carolina thinks it's wrong for mental cases that think they're a woman when they're really a man go in to the ladies' restroom. What has happened to our country? My. But I say something else that brought God's judgment. You find it in the book of Proverbs, chapter 11 and verse 1. In Proverbs 11:1, it says, a false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. Now get what he said. A false weight is an abomination to the Lord. What does he mean by that? A false balance. Have you ever seen the old-fashioned balance? And Lady Justice is supposed to be standing there blindfolded, remember? And that means the law is supposed to be fair. It means nobody is supposed to be above the law. That's what it means. And yet we look around today and see that God must hate this thing because I've never seen such an imbalanced mess in all my life. Some of the things that are being done today would put somebody in the big house, but instead they may go to the White House. Amen. Amen. Think about that a little bit. It's amazing. Martha Stewart lied to the FBI about her inside trading on the stock market. One lie because her agent told her this stock's probably going to fall, and she got the inside information and she got rid of it, and she told the FBI she had no inside information, so they got her for lying. She went to jail. You saw her on TV folding clothes in the jailhouse. One lie. Do you know anybody that's getting by with a bushel of them? Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Sure you do. God says he hates a false balance. He hates it when Lady Justice is peeping out and favoring somebody over somebody else. Amen. I'm talking to you about what calls for the punishing judgments from God. Let me go on to say, and I'm using this book as my research. This is the place you research it. This is where you find out. What calls for the punishment of God? What judgment from God? I just gave you several things. I could give you many more. But for time's sake, now let's look at this. How do we recognize if God's judgment is appearing? Now you got me? We know why it will come. Now, how do we know if it's appearing? How can we recognize it? Recognize it. Would we begin to see it? Let me just use some things now. Just a few things. Would God's judgment be recognized because he might disturb the weather? He did in the Bible. Didn't he bring droughts? Didn't he bring floods? Now you say, well, it's global warming, all my foot. Listen, when God brings it, it's from God. It's not going to be man-made. It's not going to be your carbon footprint that's causing it to get hotter. No, no, no. When God does it, he says the seasons will continue to the end of time. But God Almighty interrupts the weather. He brought droughts on Israel. He brought floods. He done a lot of things with the weather because the weather affects your economy. The wrong weather, like we've seen out in Louisiana, the flooding, I mean, it destroys the crops. It destroys the economy, and God can use weather when he wants to as a judgment. He can use pestilence out of balance. Bugs, for instance, in the Bible, how about the locust? Didn't he use the locust in the Bible as judgment? Yes, he did. But let me also say this, he can use smaller bugs than the locusts. He can use the Zika virus in a mosquito. He can use AIDS. That's a virus, whether you know it or not. He can use all of that. Pestilence comes, and God can bring judgment through disease. He can bring it through the weather. He can bring it a lot of ways. And one of the ways we see God's judgment building today, I taught about it in Sunday school, is we see the enemy nations arising, gathering, as we taught in Sunday school. China and Russia right now are defying us big time. Iran, who we are financing to get the weapons, we see them arising today. We've got to the place in our country, we can no longer defend our borders. And we got a population that's brainwashed to think that we ought to not even have borders. And the people that come in illegally, we ought to give them a paycheck and all kind of benefits. See, God's judgment is coming on a nation because we've done exactly what Israel and other nations did when God brought judgment upon them. I'll tell you something, and you're not going to like this, but I want you to look at it. Well, I won't turn to it. I'll tell you, and then you go home just before you take your nap today. Open your Bible to the book of Isaiah, chapter 3, and read it. Listen to me now, because I'm not going to give you time. But in chapter 3, God pronounced judgment on Israel by doing something. Here's what he done. Now, I'm not predicting, but I'm just saying this is what God done to Israel. He put babes and women to rule over them. I didn't write the book. Don't get mad at me. God wrote it. There it is. And God brought judgment on Israel because of the weak leadership that he gave them. They could no longer stand up to their enemies. They could no longer guide their country because God said, this is what you deserve. And he gave it to them. Now, ladies, I want to just say something to you just before you blow a gasket. Listen to me. God set you in a higher position. Man's supposed to be your protector. He did not set you as the authority over man. He set you under man. And you read in the Bible and other places, God did use women in a great way in many ways. But God's plan was for a he-man to stand up and lead a nation. That's what God wanted. Weak amen, but I expected it. Some of you husbands look at your wife and see if she'll let you say amen. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just telling you that's where we've moved to. We got girly men today. Limp wrist. I get mean on that. Truth is, God wants somebody to stand up and say, I'm on God's side, and this is the way we're going to do. We're going to do what God said do. And the sad truth is, we are moving now to a place of weak leadership, to the place God may just say, I'm going to give you what you deserve. That's not good. Weak leadership. Isaiah chapter 3. God warned Israel about that. And then I'm going to move on, and I'm going to get a little personal on me and some of you this morning and say this. Another way we can see God's judgment appearing is the powerlessness and the compromised church age that we've come to. 2 Peter chapter 4, Peter says, God says through Peter, he says over there that judgment shall begin at the house of God. You know what got America in trouble is the pulpits got weak. They got sick. They got where they didn't believe the Bible was the word of God. They got where they didn't believe the Bible truths, and they backed up, and the next thing you know, there was no clear voice speaking up for God, and all of a sudden the political scene just ran over the church, and the little old preachers like little poodle dogs are falling behind. The truth of the matter is we're supposed to be out front saying, thus saith the Lord, and this is right, and this is wrong, and taking a stand. And my friend, that has been lost. We're in the Laodicean church age. The Bible predicted it would come, but it's a bad time that it has come. And the truth of the matter is that we're seeing it today, and compromise religion, even to the place right now. What I'm saying and what I already said to you this morning may soon be, and some think it is right now, against the law.
Yeah,
freedom of speech, gone. They just passed a bill in China and in Russia, two different bills, but the end result, in Russia, they just, and we're talking about Brother Bob Azawardi's brother and having to give up the ministry in Russia and all that business. All of a sudden, they're stopping what they call proselyting or witnessing because they're afraid of Islam, number one. But China right now just come up with a bill. And there have been some great strides and victories in China in the last few years, house churches and others. But right now, they just come up with a bill that says, you get this now, listen to me. Parents cannot bring their children to church. Children cannot be indoctrinated into Christianity. Isn't that amazing? Well, watch out, America. Watch out, America. I think I said it a while ago right here in Leon County. Don't to pledge allegiance to the flag. They don't to see a truth like the ark depicts. We are moving to the place right now they want you to get within the walls of your building and not reach anybody else. That's the plan. That's what they want. And a powerless religion brings the judgment of God. Powerless of Christianity today, judgment has begun. I want to say this. Not only does God bring judgment for the reasons I gave, and the fact that we can see them coming, recognize they're appearing, but the Bible also shows judgment coming on individuals. Say, why? Because an individual that rejects God's way. You say sin. Yeah, all men have sinned, the Bible says. But God made a remedy for sin. In the Garden of Eden, when he came upon Adam and Eve, and after the sin, what did he do? He killed the animals. He took the skin. He clothed them. They had lost the glory they had been clothed in with before. And the truth is, God had to shed blood to make an atonement for their sins. And you know why a man goes to hell? He has no atonement for his sins. He has no covering for his sins. Because he tries to cover them himself. And he can't cover them himself. Give you an example. How about Cain and Abel? Remember the story? Remember the story in the Bible? Remember why Cain raised up and killed Abel? He was really mad at God because God didn't accept his works. His sacrifice was no sacrifice. It was the works of his own hand. But Abel shed the blood of a lamb. And Abel's sacrifice was accepted. And Cain rose up against him and killed him. Cain rejected God's way, which was the way of the blood. You've heard the singing this morning. You know, you go to a good church and you'll get the gospel in the song service. Yeah, you will. The old-fashioned songs tell the truth. But Cain rejected the blood. He rejected the atonement that God had made. The lamb that Abel slew was pointing to the day God would slay his lamb on the cross of Calvary to make the atonement, the covering. The only thing that can cover sin is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
You see, Cain brought God's judgment on him. Let me go on to say, The judgment comes on individuals, and I'll give you another Bible example. Esau, remember Esau? What was his sin? He ignored his spiritual hunger for his fleshly hunger. He sold his soul for a mess of pottage, maybe beans, we don't know. The truth is, Esau despised his birthright, the Bible says. You know what I see today? I see men wanting to be like Cain and do their own thing to get God to accept it. I see men like Esau. They have a hunger. Their soul says you need to be saved. You need to receive Christ before it's too late. But they ignore that because they're grabbing for all the gusto they can out here, all the materialism they can get a hold of. And the truth is they're going to die under God's judgment because they have no covering for their sin. No atonement. No blood for their sins to be placed under. You know, Hebrews chapter 10 warns those that reject the sacrifice of Christ, that there is no more sacrifice, no more covering, no more atonement when you reject Christ. It says, but a fearful looking for judgment. Can you get a hold of that just a minute this way? Do you know that man is going to stand before the judgment throne of God naked? Naked? Uh-huh. How was Adam and Eve in the garden after they sinned? Naked. Why did they go hide in the bushes? They knew they were naked. They had no covering. Let me go on a little bit and say this. God made a covering of the animals, and we know, understand that. But when Jesus Christ was crucified as the Lamb of God on the cross of Calvary, he was crucified naked. You say, I saw a picture, with a lawn cloth. The artist was being modest. But the Romans crucified them naked. Right. Naked. I want to tell you something. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, they had a crown of thorns on his head because he's going to lift the curse that the thorns represented when he comes back. But he hung there naked because he was taking the sinner's place. And the sinner is going to stand before the throne of God naked because he can't cover his sins. He's going to stand in his shame and in his embarrassment because he's rejected the blood of Jesus Christ, which is the only covering for sin. And he'll stand in that shame with no righteousness of his own, no clothing of his own, naked because of his sins and under the very judgment of God. Now, I want to say to you very quickly, God's judgment falls on a man that's rejected God's covering for his sin. If you're here today, or in the sound of my voice, and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're naked in your sins. You have no covering of your own. You say, but I was a good neighbor. I worked hard. I was good to people. That's no covering. The Bible says it's not by works of righteousness which a man has done, but by his mercy that he saves. His mercy gave his son. His mercy gave us a covering. His mercy is why I can stand before the judgment seat of God, clothed in the robe of righteousness that Jesus Christ provided, and not fall under God's judgment, because God's judgment fell on him when he took my place as a naked sinner before God. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? What brings God's judgment? We run through a little bit of a list. Nation of Israel, innocent blood, and so forth. And then how we can recognize it coming, and we can see it as nations rise against us. We can see it today as we see so many things happening. But then on an individual basis, what brings God's judgment on an individual? Because he tries to stand before God with no covering. For his sins. Now, if you don't believe in the devil, listen to the telephone. Just listen to it. Right at the time the preacher's about to go into the invitation, the devil knows what's going on up here at Landmark. He knows there's somebody out there lost that very likely will leave lost if he can interrupt their minds for just a little bit. He'll cause you to leave and one day stand naked before God because you have no covering for your sin. But today, if you're here, you can come and receive that covering. That covering is Jesus Christ that died for your sins and shed his blood and will give you his robe of righteousness that you'll stand in his glory before the Father instead of standing naked in your sins. How about it this morning? How would you stand? How would you stand if it was today that he called you? How would you stand? Clothed in his righteousness, unclothed, naked in your sins. Would he recognize you because you had on the robe of Jesus? Or would it be anathema? Away with you. I never knew you. God's judgments. Can you recognize them? I recognize his judgment fell on my substitute, on Christ, on the cross, to give me a atonement, a covering for my sins, that I could have eternal life as a gift. Do you know that this morning? You leave that seat and come and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that you will right now. Let's bow our heads. With our heads bowed, how many of you can say, "Preacher, I know what you're talking about. Thank God my sins are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. He's my Savior. He's my only plea when I stand before heaven." Can you lift that hand as a testimony? Can you do it all over the building? All over the building. Thank you. You may put them down. Don't lift them if you're not telling the truth. Don't lift them if you don't know it for sure. Are you here today and you say, "Preacher, when you pray, have me in mind. I need to be saved before it's too late. I don't want to stand before God with no covering for my sins." Would you lift that hand right now? I won't call your name. I won't come to you, but I'll look at you. God's looking. I'm looking as his servant this morning, and I'll have you in mind when I pray. Would you slip that hand up right now? I do care for my soul. Father, we've come to a time in this country where men seem to be ashamed of your very Son that loved them and died for them. It's a terrible time, Father, and we see judgment creeping in. We see it falling here and there. We know it's going to get worse and worse. And yet, Lord, we recognize your judgments are righteous. Lord, we deserve what we're getting in this country. Lord, we see, as the book of Revelation tells us, the whole host of heaven declaring that your judgments are righteous. I pray in our midst today and in the sound of my voice today that somebody would say, "Yes, God is right and I'm wrong, and I'm going to rush to him and let him cover my sins and not going to trust my way anymore. I'm not going to be a Cain. I'm not going to be an Esau that despised the spiritual birthright. I'm going to come to the Lord Jesus." I pray that would happen right here in this building and in Radio Land this morning. I pray you'd speak.